So Maharaj, in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, mostly our Guru and all devotees focus on preaching. Even Prabhupada also said that, be a preacher. But if we will do Vrindavan Vas, because I want to live in Vrindavan Dham, so if I will live here, so how can I do preach? Like Ghost Hanandi, and second, another vision, Bhajanandi. So if someone want to be a Bhajanandi and want to do bhajan to live in Vrindavan, so how can we do preach?
Or is it compulsory?
Yeah, it's nothing. You're asking a question about you're living in Vrindavan. You are living in Vrindavan.
No, I'm not living in Vrindavan, but I want to live in Vrindavan.
Because there's life in Vrindavan, and then there's life outside of Vrindavan.
Sorry?
There is life in Vrindavan.
My life.
Vrindavan may jivan chalare. Vrindavan barse jivan chalare. But Vrindavan may. Rajavasme, Dusra Vichar, Dusra Kam, Dusra Sadhana, Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam. So Vrindavan is called Priyojan. Vrindavan is the Param Gati. If koi koi parivar marana and uparho jaga, say, oh, mera kaka, apka kaka kaha, oh, mera kaka golok prapti. Golok prapti, Vaikuntha prapti, Swarga prapti, Chilega, Mera Kaka, Marana. This is we say. So, Param Gati is Vrindavan. This is Dham, Braja Dham. Dham means Leela. This is the place of Leela. So, the final point is to come to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, we spend all of our time. You can see Upadesh, you know English?
Yeah, sure.
Upadesh Amrita, yeah. Rupa Goswami Pad. He's telling what is Brajavas? Instruction number 8. He said, Tad Nama Charitadi. He says, Brajatishtan. One should stand, live in Braj, doing what? Tad Nama Kirtana Anuragi Vaishnava. He should spend his time in Vrindavan hearing and chanting and remembering Radha and Krishna Leela and having sadhusang with Anuragi Vaishnava. Anuragi Vaishnava is both upper class Vaishnava. Both Vidvan, Shastra Nipun, Indriya Dant, both Tapasya Vairagi. And he's a learned person, bhakta. This is Brajavas. Outside Vrindavan, then you do your parivarakam, your job, your family, your children, your house. You do your work. This is your dharma. This is grihastha dharma. But then there's sanatana dharma, jiva dharma, atma dharma. There's deha sharir dharma. And alaga laga dharma, atma dharma. Atma dharma, Bhagavat seva. Nam jap, nam kirtan, shastra swadhyaya, puja, tirtha yatra, ikadasi brat, tapasya, Thakurji dhyan, lila dhyan, Thakurji chinta, manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishasi satyam te prati jane priyosime. Bhagavad Gita. Atara Adhyaya. 18th chapter. Krishna is telling Guyatama. Then Sarva Guyatamam. Guyam means Gupta. Hidden. Secret. Sounds like Gupta. So there's Gupta, Guptatara, Guptatam. Secret, more secret, very, very secret. Then Sarva Guyatama. Sarva, all. of all secret things, very katin, katin tattva, very secret truth, praman, truth, is this. Then Krishna speaks, manmana bhavamad bhakto, bhakti, madhyaji mam namaskuru, mam evaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. He said, Krishna says, this is the most secret of secret of secrets. Satatam kirtiyanta ma Vishnu smaratam smartavya. Always remember Krishna. So Brajavas is for 24 ganta, Saddin, 24 ganta, Bhagavan chinta. No parivar chinta, no paisa chinta, no any chinta. Kebal eki, ananya bhakt. Ekeha kuru nandana, ekeha, aikantiki bhakti. Brajavas means always thinking, meditating on Krishna and seva.
We need to achieve that stage.
This is the meaning of Brajavas. It's called sadhana. Sadhana means abhyas. Abhyas means daily practice. You don't just sit there and prem falls on your head or bhav. You do abhyas, sadhana. So you come to Vrindavan, you go through an artha nivritti, a nishtha ruchi, everything you do in Vrindavan. The only thing you do is bhajan. In Goswami Shastra, in the tikas of the Bhagavatam, you won't find the term Goshtyanandi and Bhajanandi.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, there's
nowhere in Hindi, nowhere in Sanskrit, nowhere in Bengali.
Yeah.
What this means, I don't know. This is a misconception. If we see with our eyes what is real, we see a man works, and we see that he sleeps. And we see that he speaks, and he doesn't speak. He eats, he goes to latrine. He's with his wife, he makes children. We see. He doesn't just, oh, your father works all day. No, he doesn't work all day. He sleeps. He's with the Fariva exchange. So every devotee, if he opens his mouth and says Krishna, that's pravachan. Kirti. Kirti, kirti. Mahima. Krishna mahima. Krishna kirti. A devotee will always, someone who is in love, if you love cricket, everybody you meet, you'll talk about cricket. Oh, did you see the TV yesterday? India versus Australia. Did you see he hit like this? And then he caught like this. You understand?
Yeah.
Naturally, you'll preach cricket. So if someone is a devotee, like you eat food, some utsav, chaka chak bog, then you eat pura pet. Paid Bolo Anande, Bhaje Radha Govinde. Then you can't eat, Aramse, Roko, or Kuchne. Satisfaction, Tushti, some say Toshan. So the preaching, the prachar is Dakar. Prachar, Dakar. Samaste.
Yeah.
You read, you do Shastra Sodhyaya, you do bhajan, you get anubhuti. You know anubhuti?
Yeah.
Experience. Anubhav, anubhuti. Oh, I felt Krishna. I feel his love. I feel his mercy. I taste his holy name. So I tell you, I chant because I'm experiencing something. So you chant. This is preaching. So everyone, every Babaji, my Parat Paraguru, my Guru and my Paramguru and my Parat Paraguru in my Parampara, Advaita Parivar, he was a Siddha. His biography is written in the Braj K. Bhakta, O.B.L. Kapoor. Siddha Manohar. Siddha Manohar Das. You can see in O.B.L. Kapoor's book, and a very famous Siddha Krishnas, of course, there's Jaya Krishnas of of Bimala Kund Kanvan, then there's Siddha Krishnadas from Manasiganga, there's Siddha Krishnadas from Surya Kund, they're famous. Yeah. But Manohar is also famous, 1880s. He lives not long ago. Siddha Manohar Das Babaji Maharaj. He did Bhajana Govinda Kund. Now, he's what you call a Bhajanandi. We don't say Bhajanandi, we say devotee. We don't use that term, Bhajanandi. Is Anantadas Babaji a Bhajanandi? Is Pran Krishnadas Babaji a Bhajanandi? Is some Vinod Bihari Das Bhajanandi? Or Sri Maharaj Sri and Barsana, is he Bhajanandi? They are devotees. They are very advanced devotees, pure devotees. Everyone can understand. And what do? They sing about Radha and Krishna. They chant their mantras and their mala and their jap. And they do kirtan and they write books. So when they do kirtan, people record and they're listened to people all around the world. And they write books and people read them around the world. So they're sannyasis, they're babajis, they're vairagis. They're devotees. There's no such thing as Goshtyanandi Bhajan. A person has two sides of his body. Right eye and left eye. Left eye, right ear and left ear. So, telling Krishna Kirti and Krishna Bhajan are one. You know, you have a coin, 1 rupee, 2 rupee. One side, two side, one coin. So devotee means one who does Krishna Kirti. If you're not doing Krishna Kirti, you're not a devotee. Krishna Kirti means chanting my japa. Krishna Kirtan means sitting Manohar, Siddha Manohar Das, for 18 hours a day he stayed in a cave, chanting japa, meditating on Astakali Lila and his seva and Manjri Srup. And then he had a small diary. And at the end of all day, sometimes he would get sporty because he was on the highest platform of pure bhakti, bhav, prem. And he would get deep, direct vision of Radha and Krishna's leelas. Even special leelas that we don't see in the other shastras. And he wrote them down. It's a book in Hindi also. It's called Vidagdha, something Vidagdha. Like 50 times, 56, 55 or so experiences, anubhutis. More than anubhuti. Spurti, direct vision of Krishna. Leelas. So then after the day was over, he would write in his diary. Now the book is published. Now people are reading, and that's preaching. He's spreading the glories of Krishna from his own vigyan or his own sportis. So all these devotees that I mentioned a few minutes ago, Siddha Manohar Das and Anantadas Babaji or whomever, they have written so many books and they've done so much bhajan. So that's two parts of the same. A devotee has two aspects. Sometimes he writes or opens his mouth and glorifies Krishna, and sometimes he's in moan. He doesn't speak for 1 month or 3 months or 10 years or 12 years. But he's also preaching because his pure vibration of his mind and the pure spiritual divine vibrations of his heart and his meditations are entering the ethers. The kam, shabda ke purusham nishu. K means the sound and ether. Krishna says in Gita, shabda ke purusham nishu. I am shabda ke. He says aham. Shabda ke aham. It's in maybe 7th chapter. Krishna says, I am the sound and ether. Shabda. Shabda Brahman. So when these great devotees are just meditating day and night in Astakali Lila, they're generating so many positive transcendental thought waves, and it's called manovritti. Manovritti means the thought, the waves or movements and vibrations of the mind, and they're leaving their form and they're going into the atmosphere around their kuti and all over the world. They're counteracting all the negative lying and cheating and propaganda and nonsense vibrations that are being broadcast into the atmosphere. So just the very presence, there are verses in the Puranas that say the very presence just the jivani, the life, the existence, the very presence of a saint anywhere creates mangal. And sub dig mangal. There are verses, there are shlokas that say if there's one saint living in a town, then everything will be good. In Dwarka Leela, Krishna in Dwarka, he was there with Akrura and Uddhava and Ugrasen and Rukmini and thousands of queens, so many people, everyone from Mathura went there. Rohini, Balaram, Vasudev, Devaki, etc. So there was this Shamantaka jewel, the story about the Shamantaka jewel that was given by Suryadev to Satyajit. Yeah. And Satyajit is the husband of father of Satyabhama. And later Satyabhama was given in marriage to Krishna. But before that, Satyajit, the father of Princess Satyabhama Rani, he promised to give his daughter to Akrura. Now, this is in the Tikas, it's from Vishnu Puran. So later in this whole episode where Shatadanya and Akrura and Kripavarma, Akrura and Shatadanya made a conspiracy to get that Shamantaka jewel. So at that time, Akrura was instigating Shatadanya. He said, Shatadanya, you know, you never liked, because he also promised Shatadanya the hand. So he said, you haven't liked Satyajit, the father of Satyabhama, since she got married to Krishna, and neither have I. So why don't you have Satyajit meet the same fate as his younger brother, Prasena, who once wore that Shamantaka jewel as a necklace around his neck and rode his horse into the jungle, and a lion killed the horse, and the lion ate the human being, Prasena, who is the brother of Satyajit, the father of Satyabhama. So they said, why don't you, then you can get, since you can't get the jewel-like daughter, it's too late to get the jewel-like daughter, you can still get the jewel-like Shamantaka. Such an amazing jewel, the Shamantaka. Just by doing puja, this Ratna puja, you'll get 100 kilos of gold every day. It will manifest by the mystic power of this puja, by the arrangement of Suryadeva and Suryanarayan, whomever. So then Shatadanya, he murdered the father of Satyabhama. And then Krishna was returning from Hastinapur with Balaram because he had some function there, and he heard the news. Now Akrura and Shatadanya thought, oh, we have killed Krishna's father-in-law, Satyajit, so surely Krishna will take revenge, he's a Kshatriya. So then Shatadanya met with Akrura and he said, listen, I'm getting out of here. I don't want to have anything to do with this jewel. I want to save my life. So here, Akrura, you take this jewel. So then Akrura took the jewel, and he left. Akrura left Dwarka, and he went to Kashi, because he was born in Kashi. That was his birthplace. And when he was born in Kashi, before the birth of Akrura to Shvalpaka and Gandhari or something, Shvalpaka and Gandini and Shvalpaka are the mother and father of Akrura. They were living in Kashi. There was no rain for 12 years. Very bad drought. Very great suffering. And the very day and moment and hour that Akrura was born, it rained like anything. So all of the Jyotishis and the king of Kashi, everyone was so grateful. Oh, this person, Akrura, must be a great saint. Must be maybe an avatar of Bhagavan or an Avesha avatar, because all the heavens and earth has become replenished with rain like we've never seen before. It must be to herald this great devotee, Akrura. So now Akrura ran away from Dwarka with the gem and went back to his hometown of Kashi. And the Kritavarma, he ran away somewhere else. And then Krishna, he chased after Shatadanya with Balaram. Then he caught him and killed him. And he searched for the jewel and he couldn't find it. When Krishna returned to Dwarka with Balaram, then all kinds of omens and calamities started coming to Dwarka. There was torrential rain and wind and all kinds of negative things going on in the atmosphere and the climate, and everything was disturbed. And all the panchayat and senior Brahmins and big people of Dwarka city were saying, oh, you know, it's said in the Shastras, when a great saint lives in somewhere, then everything is auspicious in all directions. This verse is spoken in the Bhagavatam. But because Akrura left Dwarka, that's why all these things are happening. Then Shukadev, he discusses this. He said, that's not possible. Because where God is living, even it's true that wherever saints and rishis live, everything is auspicious. But it's not true that because Akrura left, because wherever God is, everything becomes Mangalam, Sundaram, Satyam, Sundaram, Shivadam. Bhagavan is Satyam, Shivadam, Sundaram. And wherever you remember him, or wherever you worship him, or wherever you serve him, or wherever he personally is, everything becomes truthful. You become truthful by worshipping Satya Bhagavan. You become beautiful, Sundaram, by worshipping Sundaram, Sham Sundar Bhagavan. You become auspicious and your life becomes fortunate if you worship Mangalam or Shivadam Sham Sundaram. So he's there, Dwarkadish is there. It's called Dwarkapuri, Dwarkapuri. And he's living there, Dwarkadish, with Rukmini and Satyabhama and all the queens. So Shukadev said, no, the sages are wrong. Any commentaries or anybody describes a Leela like this, Akrura has nothing to do with it. It's just Krishna's wish to create, this is Yoga Maya, to expand the Leela so all the panchayat will say, oh Krishna, you should call back Akrura. Because Krishna was not going to call back Akrura. Because, you know, he was kind of a rival. And besides that, he didn't want to show any favor to him. Because it wouldn't look good, because Akrura was a conspirator to kill his father-in-law. You see how clever Krishna is in Niti. This is called Niti. Niti Nipun. Niti Nipun means expert in Niti, rules, basic social rules and regulations. So if Krishna directly said, oh, Akrura, please come back, everyone would say, oh, look, you know, Akrura is... Satyabhama would be angry with him. Why are you inviting him back? He killed my father. Oh, so Krishna, he's smart. He wants to keep the peace with Satyabhama. So then he created a situation so everybody else would recommend it. They came to him and said, oh, King Ugrasen, oh, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, we should, on behalf of the panchayat, on behalf of the ruling government, we should send a royal letter, Ugrasen. You should put your royal stamp on it and seal the letter with your royal stamp and sealing wax. So if anybody opens it, then it's void. So he sealed the letter with the sealing wax of the royal symbol, King Ugrasen, Dwarka. So then that letter was carried by messenger to Banaras, Kashi. And then Akrura came back and everything was great. The weather was great. So this shows you the power of a saint just living in a place. So doing preaching, if someone is out selling thousands of books and distributing and chanting Krishna's name day and night, that's very wonderful. That's great preaching. But he's spreading the kirti through Nam and through book, transcendental books. But the sage who's just living somewhere, he's also spreading kirti. He's also, because if you give books, you give the holy name, you improve people's lives, you benefit them if they read the books, if they follow the teachings, if they chant the holy name and take it up as an abhyas or a practice. So the sage who's just sitting, or the sannyasi, babaji, brahmachari, grihasthi, whomever, who's sitting in Vrindavan and meditating and chanting and doing his solitary bhajan. There's public bhajan and solitary bhajan. This would be a proper way to say it. There's no such thing as Goshtyanandi, Bhajanandi. I mean, I've never seen these terms anywhere. I've read all the Goswami books thoroughly, and I've read all... Anyway, you hear many things. I only know what I've heard from the Goswami books, and from the Tikkas of the Bhagavatam and from my teachers.
Yeah, I also didn't read any book about this.
So try to understand. Don't worry about what wrong misunderstanding you have, but try to, if you get the correct understanding, and everything else dissolves. Once you have, you can't see properly, but once you get the proper prescription and put on your glasses, then everything's clear, right? You need the glasses. You get the proper prescription with the proper grinding of the lens, the proper number, 20, 25, 40, whatever, then you can see nicely. So all your misconceptions, all your doubts, all your illusions, all your inability to see disappears as soon as you put on the glasses. So as soon as you get the proper knowledge and the correct knowledge, then all your improper knowledge and incomplete knowledge disappears, dissolves instantly. Krishna, Surya, Sama, Maya, Haya, Andhakar. As soon as the sun rises, the whole darkness, the entire world is covered in darkness. Every single inch is covered in darkness. At night, at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. There's no light, you can't see anything, anybody, anywhere. Then, within 5 minutes, the sun rises, the whole world is illuminated. So within 5 minutes, Lava Matra says Sadhu Sangha Sadhu Sangha Sarva Shastra Hoy. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoy. There's so many verses in Puran and so many verses in Shastra that talk about the value of satsang. Satsang. So this one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita is like a sutra. It summarizes the whole thing. Sadhu, and he repeats it. Sadhu Sangha Sadhu Sangha Sarva Shastra Hoy. All the Shastras, every Puranas, all the Vedas, all the Goswami Granthas, all the books everywhere, Bhaktamal, everywhere, the biographies of Vaishnavas and the histories of religious movements, everywhere they talk about the power and strength and value and benefit of sadhus, whether they speak or whether they don't, whether they speak Krishna's kirti to the public or they speak Krishna's kirti to Krishna themselves. There's public bhajan and private bhajan. That's all. Bhaj means to serve. Bhaj, B-H-A-J, means to serve, to worship. Serve Krishna, to worship Krishna, which includes hearing about Krishna, and chanting, remembering. There's no such thing as a man is not divided into two pieces. He has one. He's one complete being. So a devotee is a complete being. He does private Krishna Kirti and public Krishna Kirti. Because even if he's doing totally Nirjan Bhajan, moan, he's also benefiting the people. Because I just gave the example of the Bhagavatam, Akura, just, and in the whole discussions in the purports and tikkas, quote all these Puranas as saying, if a saint just lives there, he's blessing everyone and making everyone healthy and happy and making good climate and environment. So that's kirti, that's benefit. You're called hitta. Hit. Hit means benefit. Hitta karana. For the benefit of others, doing welfare work. So there's not only one kind of education. Grammar school. There's also nursery school. There's also college. There's also university. There's not one kind. It's either preaching or you're not. There's no such thing. This is a dichotomy that may be used, this is a division, dichotomy means division, that's used to create some rhetoric or some preaching lingo to, you know, enthuse people or to create some kind of sense of identity. A true devotee does kirti, Krishna kirti. He glorifies Krishna, he hears the glories of Krishna, he speaks the glories of Krishna, he remembers the glories of Krishna, and he serves Krishna. That's it. Every true devotee, whether you're a man or a woman or a grihastha or a bhavaji or sannyasi, whatever, brahmachari, married, he's always hearing the glories of Krishna and he's always remembering the glories of Krishna, always speaking the glories of Krishna and thinking about the glories of Krishna, Krishna kirti, sankirtan. There's kirtan and sankirtan. Kirtan means alone. And san means together with others. So he does kirtan and sankirtan. The devotee's alone, and he's living alone, but he's walking around his kutir, walking around his bagicha, and he's chanting kirtan to himself. In the story of in Chaitanya Bhagavat, story of Haridas Thakur, Namacharya, he's telling there there's a discussion, which is better, loud chanting or silent chanting? So everything has its value, because chanting is equally powerful. Lord Chaitanya says, Nam Nama Kari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. Sarva Shakti, Nija Sarva Shakti. All your power is in the holy name. So whether it's silent japa or loud japa or whispering, it's all powerful. But there is some, the power is the same, but the effect is different. Power is the same, but prabhav is different. If I'm chanting in my mind, the prabhav, the influence, you know prabhav? Influence, power, transformational power, benefit is only for me. Now if I'm whispering or singing softly, walking around my house, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, or the proverbial singing in the shower, people take a shower, a bath, you know, coming out of the, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know, like this, it's very standard. So that chanting is Sankirtan, because it's benefiting you, it has prabhav for you, and prabhav for so many living entities. And this is what Haridas Thakur said. He used an analogy. Is it better to feed yourself or to feed 1,000 others? So if you chant silently, you feed yourself. If you chant out loudly, you feed so many people. Because every sound you make, I'm sitting in Radhakund. I'm not going to the big cities. I'm not traveling around the world. I just sit in my kuti in front of my Thakurji. I play the kartals. And I chant, and I try to chant Shuddha Nam, pure Nam, without offenses. There's Aparad Nam and Vaikuntha Rohana. There's two stages of chanting. Vishnu Chakravarti's Tika, 6th Canto of Bhagavatam. 6th Canto, chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. You can see the Tika, long, 20 pages long, Hindi, Bengali. So there he's explaining, as soon as you stop making offenses, Vaikuntha or Rohana, you go to Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means no more anxiety. You're peaceful, joyful. Not that you leave the body. It's just that's what happened with the Jamil. He chanted without offenses. In his case, he says Namabhas because he wasn't chanting as a sadhana. Namabhas applies to one person. That person who's not initiated, doesn't have guru, not doing Nam Bhajan, but he occasionally, accidentally, by chance, chants, Hey Govind, Hey Govind, Hey Ram, Hey Krishna. That's called Namavas, Sanket, Hela, and Pariyasa, and done like this. Stoba, four types, jokingly or seriously, or indicating. Sanket means indicating something else. Sanket means signal, indication. Narayan is there, which Chaturbhuj Narayan, but my little boy, his name is Narayan. And the Yamadutas are coming. So Jamil says, Oh Narayan, please, my little baby, save me. In his moh, in his illusion, in his, because when one's very fearful, they become bewildered. Like if a small deer sees a lion looking at him, the deer becomes bewildered. What to do? So that there's nothing more fearful or more bewildering than facing death. When death comes, we see what we do, what we can remember, what we can say. So he's very fortunate, he said, Narayan. And that saved him. He was going to hell, and he went to Haridwar. Haridwar means going to Vaikuntha. Haridwar means the door, dwara, to Haridam. Haridam is Vaikuntha. So basically, at one level he chanted, this was Namabhas, because he wasn't directly chanting, didn't sit down to chant 16 rounds or 4 rounds or 1 lakh. That's intentional chanting of a devotee. There's only two stages, making aparad and Vaikuntha Arohana. That's it. This Namabhas stage does not apply to a sadhaka of Nam Bhajan. It applies to the casual, accidental chanter. Like there's so many places in America called Ram Laundromat. Rama, they say Rama, but we say Ram. R-A-R-A-M-A means dry cleaners. You know dry cleaners? You put your clothes. Rama dry cleaners. I hear you. Krishna, you go to Delhi, Krishna whiskey shop. It says, Krishna, Krishna whiskey shop.
Yeah.
No, give me a liter of bagpiper.
Like Sri Radha restaurant.
Sri Radha restaurant. Yeah, Radharani restaurant. So people are chanting, this is called Namabhas. They have no guru. They have no Kantimala. They're agnostic. They're Krishna, whatever. I'm busy with my business. I have my family, I have my business. You know, Bhagavan ki jai. No problem. So this is, where are we? Oh, it's a Radharani restaurant. So he said, Radharani, Namabhas. But then he sins, you know, he commits so many sins on the strength of the holy name, so many aparads. Anyway, so benefit is there. So this is the idea that, and they say, physician, heal thyself. If you're a doctor and you have so many diseases and your body is full of diseases and you open a practice of medicine and people come to you and say, you look so sick, you look so diseased and really weak, and you're a doctor? I don't have much faith in you, because I don't think I want to take your medicine, because you know so much about medicine, but you can't even cure your own diseases. He said, oh yeah, that's like that. But you know, they told me that I should give out medicines, you know. So I'm giving out this medicine, you know, but I'm very diseased myself. So we should take the medicine, get cured, and then if we're in a healthy spirit and some realization, then maybe we can share. Otherwise, if you send a soldier to battle with no gun, how long will he live? If a soldier goes out in the battlefield, go out there and fight. Okay, with what? You need hand grenades, you need a machine gun. So to preach, you need knowledge, bhakti gyan. You need anubhuti, experience. You need purity. You need... If you want to be a bookseller, then just don't call it preaching, just call it bookselling.
Yeah, it's right.
You can sell some books, but preaching is only a devotee can preach. Devotee, the definition of devotee is one who accepts Krishna and accepts the existence of God, and he tries to worship him with love. He's a devotee. And by strict definition, you see in Sundarbhas and other places, they say a devotee, a Vaishnava means one who has taken Vaishnav Diksha. And Vaishnav Diksha means the receiving of the Gopal Mantra. This is mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas and so many Puranas. This is the Mukhya Mantra for Vaishnav Diksha. 8-syllable Gopal Mantra, 10-syllable, 18, etc., etc., 24. So, if one has Diksha and he's a Vaishnava and he's actually been accepted in a Chuta Parivar, in a Chuta Gotra, the family of Krishna, by the mercy of Krishna, who gave the bhakti, and the mercy of Guru, who gave the bhakti, then he may develop his Krishna bhakti and be able to share it with others. But if you send an unprepared, unequipped, uneducated, impure bhakti into the preaching field, he will be in maya. He will mostly be in maya. He won't be very successful. It's not recommended. They're together. There's no difference between doing bhajan alone or doing bhajan in public.
But now, if